Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hi, I'm Susie Perry, and welcome to the BT Sport MotoGP podcast from a beautifully hot Silverstone. What a season 2017 is turning out to be for Andrea Dovizioso. Today he took his fourth win of the year and took over the lead in the championship. Here is how the race was won.
As we get to the loop, now it should be Ducati time as he launches out of 45 mile an hour up through Aintree Corner, up to 190 mile an hour through the gearbox. Vinales, he's not quite close enough to put the challenge on of Brooklands into the braking area. It is just a few corners to go. Dovizioso goes a little defensive, but not too much as he goes through Brooklands.
He's on him.
On to Loughfield we are now, yes, but he's got it covered here. He's only got to open the taps as we get through onto Woodcote. There is not a passing place for Vinales. He can make it look close, but he's not going to be as close as Robertson Sheen in 1979. Dovizioso wins the British Grand Prix in 2017. He's done the double back-to-back wins for the Ducati man.
Coming up, you can hear from Dovi, Valentino Rossi, Maverick Vinales, Cal Crutchlow, Colin Edwards, Neil Hodgson, Keith Ewan, Julie Ryder, Gavin Emmett, and of course, myself. Enjoy.
I'm not sure anybody really saw that one coming.
I did. I'd said all along.
No, you did not.
You liar.
The first thing I said when I saw you two, I went, none of us saw that coming.
No.
We did say it improved throughout the weekend, but I was battling for fourth. That's what I remember. That was the last thing I said about Dovi.
Yeah, I know. It was
incredible.
Really incredible. Let's remind ourselves then of the winners throughout the day before we talk about that a little bit more. Yeah, we've just seen Andrea Dovizioso take his fourth win of the season, cleverly master-binded by the team and beautifully ridden by Dovi. And in Moto2 earlier today, that belonged to Taka Nakagami, a strong show from the Japanese rider to bring him a second career Moto2 win as he prepares to be Cal Crutchlow's teammate next year. And earlier this morning, which seems like yesterday now, Aaron Canet won the Moto3 race after a red flag called a stop to proceedings. Some breathtaking action before that happened, though. And just to update you, that was red flag because of an accident with Juan Fran Guevara, and he is OK. Let me just get that one in before... Oh, no. This is the back side of Davide Tardozzi, who stinks. He reeks of champagne.
No, I smell
Apologies for that.
Davide,
You wanted to talk to us often, you said, last time in Austrian. Here you are again, on the bounce, another win. The fourth win this year, the only team
But this one is the most incredible because I guess that nobody was thinking that we had a chance. Us two.
Really?
really. I told Dovi on the Parc Fermé, I said, I apologise. I said that one Honda will win this race. But another lesson of Professor Dovi.
Yeah, he's really earning the name Professor
Dovi. I think that today he makes his best race because he makes the right changes this morning on the warm-up. And he was not pushing so hard. He was not, cover. Mm. But when he finished the warm-up, you can see in his eyes that something was changed from yesterday. And he was smiling a lot with his race engineer. And Alberto is his name. And Alberto told me, I think that he made the step. And said, we'll see. But Honda's here will be almost unbeatable. Then something happened.
Hey, something happened, like it always does.
Super happy for you guys. Unbelievable. Nobody expected it, obviously. Dovey didn't run the wings. He did Friday. He tested back and forth, and he was super slow Friday. What happened? Y'all did a lot of work over the 2 days.
No. Yeah, a lot of work because we plan to work on the tires on Friday, but unfortunately we had a hard tire that doesn't work. You know, sometimes can happen.
Yeah.
Then we was forced to work in FP4 on the tire choice because in the morning in FP3 there was the race condition, the racetrack was not in the right condition, and but finally he said the hard one, if the temperature we raise, the hard one is perfect. Then this morning he found the right setting, then he make the race.
Davide, but what about his racecraft? Yeah. Who is this new rider that we've not seen lot of years? And I don't mean that disrespectful. This is like a complete new rider. Now, he dominated, I remember, in the 125s, you know, won the world championship, looked incredible. 250s, he won races. And then he didn't disappear because we know how difficult MotoGP is. But the racecraft, the way he's matured as an old rider.
He's always been fast. He's always been very fast. But many times he was saying, second place is good, third place is good. Now he trusts he can win. Now he's changed since September, October last year. Something happened.
Here we go. Come on in.
Come off these shots because we've got...
We've got
Paolo Gibatti. What Davide was just saying, Paolo, congratulations first and foremost, of course, that was Dovi's best race and the most incredible win for Ducati because you didn't expect it.
Well, you know, I think any race win is somehow unexpected and the last one is maybe the best one, but the next one is the best one, I would say. So I think I think we would fight for a podium. And honestly, I thought that winning would be difficult. We don't know what would have happened if Marquez had continued until the end. But I think Dovi is showing that he's really a rider, a perfect rider, super fast, super clever, perfect strategy, doesn't break under pressure. And he did just the right thing up to the last corner. So we're just extremely happy and proud.
And how does it, what does it mean to Ducati to lead the championship, going to Misano, your home track? No pressure there, by the way. Six rounds to go. We can start to get excited.
No, it's adding extra pressure on anybody because we know that we are now leading and, we think there is a chance to really fight until the last race for this championship. It's not going to be easy because Marquez is very strong, the two Yamahas are very strong, and some other riders for sure they will be fighting in the next races. And we got to Misano, we have been testing there. We are pretty satisfied, but we know also that the Honda and Yamaha have been testing there and they were quite fast. So it's not going to be easy, it's a home track. Not so friendly to Ducati in the past, so we'll try to change the situation in 2 weeks' time.
Well, this track hasn't been too friendly to Ducati in the past, and look what happened today.
Even some other tracks weren't so friendly to Ducati, and we managed to get good results. So let's try to surprise people at every race weekend. This is what the guys are doing. They work very hard back in the factory as well, day and night. So I think this is a reward for everybody involved in the Ducati Corse program. And, we are very happy for all of us and for them.
Yeah, guys, incredible race and huge congratulations. And
thank you.
Thanks both. You make a really nice couple there.
Yeah,
that's looking really good. And this is a good moment, I think, to hear from the race winner. Here he is, the divine Dovi.
Dovi, congratulations. Win number four for number zero for this season. What a performance. We are surprised. We will be honest. Yeah. We're surprised. Is there surprise in the Ducati Cup?
A little bit I'm surprised, but not too surprised because most of the races are completely different than the practice. Because in the practice, everybody push 100%, but almost every race, nobody is able to push 100% at the race. Because the tire drop and how it's made the tire, nobody is able to put a lot of intensity there. And the lap time is completely different. The way to ride in the race is completely different. So I'm not surprised at the end because when we have to manage the situation, we are quite good. And at the end, I have a really good traction. That gave me the possibility to make a good lap time. But I'm really happy at how I managed the race, because I put my position every time in the right position. That gave me the possibility to win.
I'm so interested what you thought when Marquez obviously went out the race, because then not long after, obviously, is when you attacked and you hit the front. Did you always calculated that was the time to go?
No. The reality is the main straight here is very short, and it's very difficult to see the pit board. I didn't understand what happened during the race. I saw Marquez out, but I thought the last five laps to be just with Valentino, but it wasn't like this. But I didn't understand everything, because I couldn't see all the I couldn't see very well the pit board. So I wasn't sure, and three laps to the end I say I have to go, and if somebody will come, we will see and we will fight. I saw Valentino struggle a little bit with the grip, and I was quite slow in some corners, but I have a better attraction, and that gave me the possibility to stay on front. But Maverick was really fast at the end. Maybe with a different strategy, it was difficult for me to beat him.
Andrea, you're leading the championship. We go back to Misano. What a huge race that's going to be. Not just for you, because we're not far from Forlì, where you're from, but for Ducati as well. How excited are you about the next race?
Well, we are first in the championship. This is something, for the second time of this year, we work very well. I'm so proud about that. We take the result without a lot of work. So happy about this. So happy about all the engineers are working in our project at home in the weekend. It's a special moment.
The dream's continuing for you, isn't it?
For sure.
Dovi, congratulations on that fourth win of the year. Well done. Brilliant.
Thank you.
Really fascinating what he was saying about the pit board. Have you ever had that? And was it because they were quite tight together and next to each other, so sometimes it's quite difficult to distinguish?
Yeah, it's one of the hardest, because it's a real fast sort of fourth, fifth gear kink, and then the pit wall's there, but you're looking down there. It's instead of it being on a straight and you can see it in the distance and then you glance, you've almost got to look across at the pit board. It is really difficult.
Okay. Which basically means they're obviously not using the text message thing.
That was the next question to you. I thought they were going to... Why wouldn't you use the text messaging system?
I don't know. I mean, that's typically, I guess, rain or something, debris on the track, whatever it is. But apparently, lap after lap, they're not texting him, telling him, giving him any information.
No, not surprised me.
Okay, well, that's interesting. That's something we need to pick up in Misano. You'll have to do that, because I'm not going to be there. But he's great, Dobby, isn't he? I mean, we saw him after the last race win in Austria, and he just comes out. He was out with his team having dinner, really unassuming. Just sort of very gentle character and just really friendly.
He almost looks in shock. Did you get a little bit of that? Like, I don't think it's surreal. I was thinking about it whilst he was talking. We never thought he was an alien. You know, he's not one of the special chosen ones. And I think what Davide Tardozzi said, he didn't believe he was special. He was always happy with the third, if he got a third. When he could have won maybe some races in the past.
Well, he believes now.
Now he believes. That's that switch has just changed in his head mentally. Now he believes he's a winner.
How brilliant for the championship. It's so great, isn't it? Let's go back to the start of this race then, where it was being owned by a certain Mr. Valentino Rossi.
For so long as well. I mean, he got the breakaway with a hard front and rear.
It was surprising for me. I mean, I think we all thought Marquez was going to go out and just blister the pace. Marquez, I think, was just hanging back, conserving his tires. But Valentino, boom, once he got out, and Maverick said he let him go. You know, I think they let him get out so that nobody would burn their tires up.
Yeah, surprised me, though, because you always thought that the tire strategy from Valentino was the right one.
Yeah, because the harder rear, you thought, well, if you can do that early doors, then, you know, hopefully you can be there. But obviously, there wasn't much difference between
the two. That's what we've learned this year. The tire compounds all seem very, very close
together. It's not textbook, is it, with the tires? That's the trouble.
It used to be easy this game.
I know,
a soft, a medium, and a hard. Now it's like, you know, throw the dice and let's see what happens.
Yeah, being a pundit was easy, because you could go, oh, no, that's not going to work. Now, we can see what's happening. Big surprises all the time.
Well, we called it Friday. We said there's no way they're going to use a soft tire in the race because it's that good. It has that much grip. And that 59, obviously, from Marquez. So we know it had a lot of grip, but for it to last that long...
Yeah, that sounds confusing. You'd assume you'd want to use it because it got a lot of grip. If you've got a lot of grip, then you'll wear it out quicker because it's biting the road.
Yeah.
Confusing. I'm confused.
Have you ever bitten the road, Susie? It's biting the road.
I can imagine you two biting the road. Anyway, let's hear what Valentino thinks about his tyres. He's talking to Gavin.
Ah, Valentino, third place today. How frustrating after leading all of that race pretty much until the end there. Is it a sort of frustration?
Allora, for me, yesterday and also this morning, have no option to be frustrated on the podium. But it's true, I'm a bit frustrated, so it means that I do a good race. We work well during the weekend. I ride well today. I give the maximum from the beginning to the end. I never make mistake. I was able to stay concentrated. For me, this is so important. Unfortunately, you know, is... because four laps to go, I think I can do. But I suffer a little bit, the degradation of the rear tire. In the last lap, I lose 0.4, 0.5, and I have no way to fight. Dovi and also Maverick were faster.
It's fascinating, isn't it? Because you with the harder tire, Maverick was with the softer tire. You're both on the same bike. Was that a hard decision for you to make?
No. Allora, I have my idea. For me, the three rear tires from Michelin are very similar. So at the end, it's not that. But what we see during the weekend is that Maverick suffer a little bit less the rear degradation and is able to spin less. His way to stay on the bike, maybe it's shorter. And it suffer less. For me, it's this that make the difference. I don't know if with the soft, I was able to do a better race.
It's a special weekend for us here. For you next time, it's the same, isn't it? Because it's Misano, it's a home Grand Prix. You always seem to rise to the occasion in Misano. Do you think that you can claw back in this championship there?
I'm so happy because it was a great emotion today on the podium. A lot of fun, a lot of people in the track, and it was great. And I will try. I will try my maximum for stay on the podium also in Misano.
We know you will do, but the Yamaha around there with these tyres, is it going to be? You tested there recently.
Yeah, you know, the test was not so bad. We were quite fast. But at this moment, you have 5, 6, 7 bikes that fight for the podium. So very important are all the small details during the weekend.
Valentino, great to see you back up on the podium. Well done.
Thank you. Ciao.
Well done.
He's sticking to his lines, isn't he? He's not changing. He was happy with the podium. He said he could only fight for third. He got third, and he's happy with it.
Yeah, Marquez was supposed to be up there as well.
I know. But actually, he did explain, you know, pretty well about the tyres there and the fact that the soft should have ideally degraded more than the hard, but it just didn't work out that way. And the good question there about, well, if you'd had the soft tyre, could it have been slightly different? Yeah, you're never going to know the answer to that, really, are you?
He sounds like Vinales is better with the rear tyre, which doesn't make sense. You would think Valentino would be better, but obviously that's his own words.
He's taking the positives from it. He's now closer to the lead of the championship, you know, obviously with Marquez going out. So there's lots of positives. This championship's not over for Valentino, is it?
No, it's still really close. Yeah. It's still a really close top five. It's still anybody's game out of those
five. He could win in Misano, Valentino. We've seen him do amazing things around there, his home race. So, yeah, I mean, he's taking all the positives out of it.
I think it's fair to say, really, we've come out to the paddock now. You can see a little gathering of fans behind us because they're trying to wait for the traffic to get us. Well, why? They're not really interested in what we're saying. But that was supposed to be a race for Marc Marquez. And, you know, all arrows pointed towards Marc. And unless he was going to crash because he's been over the limit so much this weekend. But he looked like he got it in the pocket.
Yeah, well, he's already crashed a couple of times, so why not another one? But nobody expected the engine to blow or whatever happened. That you just don't see that from Honda.
This is what's the extraordinary moment, Neil?
Yeah, I mean, it's at the point, if an engine's going to go, it is at that point. That's under the maximum strain, near the end of the straight. The thing's revving out. But, it went in a big way. And he was lucky, obviously, not to crash. I don't know if it got some oil on his tyre. You saw it sort of slide around. Big shot, because I'm not saying he got that race in the bag, but he was in the right place. You know, he was positioning himself, and I think he had been saving his tyre. We would have had an exciting last lap, I think, if it had not blown up.
Yeah, well, we know Dovi said that he was waiting and saving his tyre, and it looked like Marc was doing exactly the same thing, so we assume that was the case there. But for Honda, you know, this is just something really extraordinary, and they won't want to talk about it, I'm sure. But what causes that?
lubrication problem.
Over-revving.
Yeah.
When was the last time you saw that happen with a Honda, Colin?
I honestly cannot remember. I mean, they touched on it. We saw two Yamahas last year at Mugello with this new electronics package. That's strange. It's a new one.
Yeah, okay, well, let's have a look at Maverick Vinales then overtaking Valentino Rossi for second. This was his moment for second position.
Yeah, and he just sort of knocked it up again. This is just at that point, right near the end of the race, when Valentino's hard rear tyre, you could clearly see it was just spinning because he had no acceleration. When he stood the bike up, he was trying to stand the bike up even earlier. But, it was like the bike was almost in neutral, you know, compared to some of the other bikes.
Mm. And these points, to grab a few more points there, these are so important moving into the final stages of what is such a close championship title.
Well, we're getting that point of the year where every point is as valuable as anything. I mean, Marquez would have done anything just to have five, just to have six, anything. So you can't give anything away right now.
He's got to claw it all back, hasn't he? Well, let's hear from Maverick Vinales now and see what he's got to say.
Maverick, congratulations on that second place, because at one point it looked like you were dropping back from the lead. You came right back at the end with the softer tyre on. How surprised are you that actually at the end you could make up the time?
Yeah, honestly, I've been struggling the first laps and then the middle of the race with tyre, because I was not sure if I will finish the race, so I was just saving tyres until the end. When I saw three laps to go, I give everything, you know. I pushed the bike on the acceleration. And honestly, being really good at the last laps. I was trying to push Dobby, but finally it was very difficult because I overtake Valentino, I run wide, and then Dovizioso just gets some meters that impossible to get it. But really happy. Honestly, it's been really good weekend for us, and we worked quite hard. So I think in Misano we're going to be even better.
Yeah, I'm interested because you've gone with this softer option. Is this somewhere you might solve some of the issues you've been having over recent races, do you think?
Exactly. Today we choose the soft just to check what was happening, because there is a lot of races that we choose the hard for our bike and was not working. So we're going to try again to make the soft work. And in Misano we know already which tyre we have to use. So really happy and really pleased that the bike is working well.
I just want to know what you thought when you saw Marc Márquez and his bike go pop in front of you, because you were right there.
Yeah, I was pretty scary because I don't know if it was oil, water, I didn't expect, you know. And there I think was where Dovizioso wins the race, because I tried it then to recover, but it was too much.
Does that mean the championship's back on now?
Yeah, I think so. Every time it's getting closer. It's been long that I didn't feel strong like that, so happy, and for sure in Misano we're going to be stronger.
Good to see you happy. Well done, Mav.
Thank you.
That's all really fascinating stuff moving forward with that tyre. We've talked a lot about it, but let's move on to Cal Crutchlow now, who, you know, everybody sort of hoped that it might be a dream ticket day for Cal. It wasn't to be. At what stage did you think, it's not going to happen?
It was difficult to tell, because we clearly know he wasn't going to give in at any point. He was going to push to the limit, but still quite early on in the race, this was, I don't know what lap, but certainly early on, obviously, we see Dobby go past Cal there. But, I mean, he didn't.
Oh, all friends, though, in the Parc Fermé.
There he is with Willow.
Yeah.
His number one supporter. Obviously, that's his young daughter. I mean, he did a great job.
Yeah, he did.
It was easy. I actually thought he was going to take the front today. I thought it was going to be one of them days where Cal just pushed over the limit, certainly trying to get on the podium.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to find out just how hard he was pushing. We can find out now because he's chatting with Gavin.
Cal, great job there to fourth place. See, everyone was trying to conserve tyres. Looked like at the end you're just spinning up that little bit more than the rest. Is that frustrating at the end there to see the podium so close?
Yeah, because I came here to win. Honestly, yeah, sure, you go into every weekend to win, but I mean, this weekend was a special weekend. I felt good last year, and I felt good all weekend, but I just didn't have it in the end. The other guys were quicker than me today. The front tyre was too soft for us, as always. You know, we know if the other guys are using the hardest front tyre, we probably normally need to be one harder. And this is the reason why we were struggling more with the rear tyre in the end, because I had to spin a lot to turn the bike because the front was finished. So, but I did the best job I could, and that was today. That was fourth. I played around with the maps a little bit into the race to try and do a few things a little bit different, and a home podium would have been good. So yeah, I'm disappointed, but all credit to the three guys in front. Dovi rode fantastic. I didn't think all weekend he was the guy to beat. I thought it would be Mark. Sure, Mark was there, but he was already on the limit completely. And yeah, we have to go to Misano with our head held high and try again there.
Yeah, is there some comfort you can take from this, that you are back up there, you are back fighting effectively for the win, you're just there within a second?
Yeah, but Misano is going to be a different, completely different circuit. You know, as we saw, Danny never even turned up this weekend. And next weekend, he'll be there fighting for the win. You know, it swings and roundabouts a little bit for Hondas. Mark's always the guy that's there that's consistent. But we did a good job today. I felt good on the bike. I tried my best, and fourth it was.
You've done us all proud today, Kyle. Well done. Good job.
Cheers, thanks.
Last lap time, Julian. Last lap, here we go. Slipstream steady now. Jorge Martin has left it to Copps. He's come through on the 88 bike, forcing his way through. Gabby Martin as well. Gabriel has come through. Gabriel Rodrigo has come through behind Martin.
Red flag. I'm seeing red flag
indeed.
So that must be the Guevara
incident. We will go back a lap. Race completed after 16 full laps. So it is Aaron Canet for Manea Bastianini. What a day for Estrella Galizia.
Yeah, it was a great day for Estrella Galizia, and Juan Fran Guevara, as I mentioned earlier, is absolutely fine. And you can probably see, standing on the end of our line there, Tom Booth Amos, who had a wild card ride today. And what a massive moment, really, for you. What a great weekend it's been, and an incredible result. So, first of all, huge congratulations on your result. Are you happy with where you finished? 21st you ended up, right, from 32nd, I think it was?
Yeah, we had a bad day yesterday. Gearbox blew up on my outlap in qualifying, so I did one lap without second, third gear, and then pulled straight in the pitch. And luckily, the boys got it fixed. But there's 5 minutes left, and I don't know why, but yeah, I passed Bastianini on the brakes and crashed it. I don't know why I thought that was a good idea, but you know, I did and crashed. But so I started 32nd, and then it's a shame in the race I couldn't get with the leading group, because I did the same times. I looked after and I did a 13.9, but I had a 13.2 on ideals, and I went quicker than Fanati in the race. So you know.
That's the attitude we want to hear, isn't it, Neil?
Incredible. We just had said, how long have you been road racing? He went, 3 years. I went, what do you do before that? He went, well, Supermoto. And he hasn't even had three proper years. He's had, like, bitty years where, you know, there's had issues with bikes and teams. Mm. Incredible. And just also, we talked off camera, you know, after the race. Tell us about your car.
Oh, yeah. I had a nice car at the start of this year, but I needed to pay for racing, so I sold it and bought an 800 quid banger.
Somebody's car, you know, this is...
That's a commitment right there.
This is not the, you know, what we see with a lot of the Spanish teams, you know, getting these young kids and giving them the best opportunity. This is doing it the hard way. But talent is talent. Yeah. And there's one thing we know about Tom, and we didn't know before this weekend. This lad's got bags of it.
Well, of course, we've seen your results in your racing in British Superbikes. We know you've run 11 races. You came second in the other one, and the only other ones that you didn't win were the ones you weren't at. So you're dominating the championship there. But what's the one biggest thing that you'll take away from this weekend that you've learnt?
Just the experience. These guys are fast. BSB, there's me, my teammate Jake, and maybe a few others that are quick there. But everybody, even the guys at the back, they're so much quicker than anybody else. And just following them, you learn so much. I was following McPhee this morning in warm-up, and I just weren't following him. Like, round turn one, my line was wrong. Followed him and sorted it out, so...
And you normally ride on Pirellis, right?
Yeah,
and
Pirelli tyres and BSB.
Was that a big change?
It wasn't too bad. I found there was more grip with the Pirellis, to be honest. but we had to change the settings a bit, but they're not too bad.
I like how he's so cool. Like, yeah, just different tyres, that was all right. Just interview with us, just racing against the best in the world, being faster than Fanati.
Well, you know, it bodes well for the future if you can get some help. You know, I mean, let's be honest, let's just ask out here. You need some financial help, you need some sponsorship money, and, you know, and then, well, hey, you know, we could be cheering you and shouting about you and Cal Crutchlow alike. I mean, this is where you want to be, right?
This is the only place that I want to be, yeah, of course, but... I mean, I've got great personal sponsors. They help me out in BSB and City Lifting. They've chucked some money at me this year, and without them, I wouldn't be racing. But this is where I want to be. I know I'm quick enough without being big-headed. I know I want to be here. I know I can be at the front. But yeah, if anybody can help me, then let's get here.
Okay. Cole, it's about time you put your hands
in your pockets. I'm not letting this interview finish without just one quick. I know your mom's standing over here.
That's
hello.
Five as well.
This is such a massive weekend for not just Tom, but also for the family. You know, can you tell us your feelings at the moment?
Oh, just absolutely awesome. It's been absolutely fantastic. I'm so proud of what Tom's done this weekend. It's been brilliant.
Excellent. Well, we wish you all the best with the rest of his career, and of course with your career too. And on that note, let's have a look then at the standings after the British Grand Prix. So Joanne Mir then leading the way, as you would expect, 226 over 162 for Aaron Canet, who won today. Romano Fenati tried desperately hard but couldn't make it onto the podium. 160 for him. Jorge Martin, 121. Fabio D'Antonio is fifth. And moving down to Philip Ertl in 10th place.
Taka Nakagami aims through Woodcote to take the Moto2 Grand Prix here, the British Moto2 Grand Prix, a win for Taka Nakagami. It will be popular as he underlines the commitment of LCR Honda to take him into MotoGP next year. What a great week it's been. Confirmation of LCR then taking him into MotoGP and then a win at the British Grand Prix.
Well, it was brilliantly ridden by Takas, and congratulations, and what a week it's been for you with all of the news that we're hearing about you moving up. But you've had a bit of time to register your win today. So what are your thoughts at the moment?
At this moment, I'm really amazing and really happy about this. And, you know, last Sunday, it's official, I move up to MotoGP. Everybody knows for the next season, I'm MotoGP rider. So before I came here, you know, it's a little bit more motivation than as normal because, you know, must be good result, especially here, and everybody knows that. And everything is positive. Things is from Friday, I feel more strong weekend, and especially qualify was good. And this morning the warm-up session was on top, and I feel more confidence to the race. So after this and doing the race a little bit difficult, especially beginning of the race, I couldn't find the pace. But I knew that you know, today the race was a little bit hot temperature than as normal, especially this morning. And I knew that I have a good pace. And just I saw Marquez crash in the turn 14, and after this, Franco was. Easy to see the drop the pace, and after this I try to overtake him and I try to go away, and amazing, it's a good race, and finally I got the first victory this season, so it's a special day for me.
Yeah, fantastic race, fantastic. The have any big tire problems at the end, or your bike looked okay?
Yeah, it was end of the race. I knew that Matthias came. Coming closer and closer my gap, but I'm keep calm. It's easy to, you know, manage the gap. And if I was thinking, if Matthias came less than 1 second, I can go one more time. So it's like a perfect day for me. And but just end of the race, a little bit struggle on the front tire, a little bit damaged, but especially in the left side. But finally, I got to manage everything, and really good race.
And how was it to take the checkered flag? Because we know you've won a race before, but it was a red flag race in Assen. And I remember you was disappointed about that, because obviously you was leaving.
Yeah, this is amazing, yeah. This is normal, but, you know, the last year in Assen, I had the first victory, but I couldn't see the check flag. Yeah. So this is... Now I saw the checker flag. This is the first
the
victory.
But were you a little bit nervous, a little bit anxious? Because Pacini never knows when he's beat. We know this man will go absolute maximum. It was 0.6 at one point on the last lap. Could you feel him coming?
Little bit, but especially in the sector 3, in the turn 13 and 14. I hear this engine sound, but it's not close enough. And I feel this is my victory, you know.
What a great job.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thanks.
It really was a great job. And you've got the news. You've, you know, talked about the fact that you're going to be up with Cal Crutchlow next year. So it means you'll have to probably talk to us quite a lot of times. So we spend a lot of time with, you know, with that team. But
real quick, have you ridden the MotoGP bike yet?
That was my next question.
Sorry. did I take the words out of your mouth? You ridden it?
Yeah, in last season in December.
Oh, you got to go, did you?
Yeah, HRC gave this opportunity to test in Jerez, 3 days. It was amazing because, you know, this first time in MotoGP, as a first day was, I feel, this is impossible, this bike. But, you know, how is possible to manage the tire, is the power and the engine brake, everything, you know. First time I feel, you know, the electronic side because Moto2, absolutely nothing. Everything is I try to, you know, to run from the team side, the mechanics and chief engineer explained about the MotoGP bike, how it works. Then second day and the last day was, I understand how riding the MotoGP was, the last day was a really good lap time. And then after this test, I feel, okay, now I can, I want to one more time in the MotoGP rider, you know, more and more. But finally, you know, the next season I can go to MotoGP, so really looking forward in Valencia test.
Yeah. Taco-san, just we don't need to be here really, do we? Can just give Taco a microphone and off he goes.
Yeah.
Just very quickly. So you did the test, and then coming into this season, did they say if you do this, we'll give you a ride? Was there kind of did you have talks about moving up to MotoGP?
No.
Okay. So this has been building all season.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well. Fantastic and huge congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Today. Incredible performance on the track.
You.
Great racecraft. Really, really cool. And let's hear now from Jake Dixon, an interview actually that Neil did earlier, and he did great because he wanted to finish top 25, and that's exactly what he did.
Well, Jake, you said to me before the race, if you got 25th around there, you'd be happy. Are you happy?
Obviously, you always want more as a racer, but for what I lost at in the beginning and the early laps, I must have lost a couple of seconds to Taz and the group in front. But then I chipped away and I caught them back and I started to make inroads into the group from, I think it was 20th to where I was. And I started to make good progress, but it came to a point where I hit a limit and I couldn't go no quicker. We needed to change something so I could go quicker again, but the team have been fantastic, and like I say, Jürgen's been absolutely amazing with me, and so's Patrick and Tommy and all the mechanics. So it's just been an amazing weekend. I can't thank him enough, and hopefully we can one day come back together and have some good success together.
Is there a chance of that happening?
I don't know. You can ask the boss himself. He stood behind you right now, so. Maybe get a few words and ask him if he wants to run me.
Well, we'll speak to him after, but good job. You've done yourself proud. Keep up the good work and obviously good luck in the British Championship.
Cheers, thank you.
Yeah, top stuff. So did you speak to him?
What do you think?
Well, I think you probably did.
So I led to a turn around and went, what's going on?
And what did he say?
He said, Jake's way too cheeky. No, he didn't. No, he said, unfortunately, he said, I just wish we could have him in our team. Already, I'm really impressed with what he's done. He said, but I'm signed up. He's got his riders sorted for 2018. He said, we are talking about trying to get a third bike to get him to do some testing on. But he said, someone in this paddock should sign him up. He's that good.
Well, that's great, isn't it? I mean, that's all he could have hoped for, really, this weekend. He did himself proud, so congratulations to Jake. Let's check out, then, the Moto2 standings and where we move with six races to go. Franco Morbidelli leading the way ahead of Tom Lutti, who is a little bit off the pace today. Alex Marquez in third on 155. Then Miguel Oliveira, Francesco Bagnaia is fifth. And then looking down, we've got Luca Marini, who's rounding out the top 10. Let's go over to our commentary box and have a chat with Jules and Keith and get their thoughts on this incredible British Grand Prix.
Yeah, it's all about youth and atmosphere, I reckon, Jules, this weekend. I mean, it all started off on Wednesday with a British Talent Cup shakedown, 90 riders down to 22. Got to say that we've seen some sparkling achievement by some very young people this weekend, I felt. The wild cards, obviously, as we've emphasised, have looked pretty good. But it's been a great weekend for that.
It has. The trouble with Tom Booth Amos, he's 20 years old, 21 years old. Moto3 teams look at that and say, you're 5 years too old to come to this.
Jake Dixon's 21. And, of course, you've also got... Yeah, but you've got Jake Archer, who's only 17.
Interesting. Good point. And I think Jake Dixon has done himself a power of good this weekend. Deeply impressive.
I think the British Grand Prix has just underlined how much talent we have in Great Britain, and we're going to be seeing a lot more of it over the next few years. There's no doubt about it. Keep an eye on BT Sport for all of that.
Couldn't agree more, Keith, for once.
A little bit of a loving there.
It's rare.
I know it is, isn't it? That actually got on, I think, in that whole conversation without punching each other. And no, I'm only kidding, of course. Great. It is true. It's completely true about the youth. And we've seen our wild cards. Spoke to Tom there. We saw Jake. It's really good to see British talent coming through, Neil.
Yeah, I mean, and Julian's right. Saying Tom's 21, he's already way too old. But talent's talent. Troy Bayliss didn't start road racing until he was about 23, 24 maybe. Yeah. And obviously won world championships, won MotoGP races. Talent is talent.
Mm. What would be your overwhelming thoughts and highlights of the British Grand Prix this year?
Oh, Ducati. That's one word. I really don't know how they won. I don't know how Dovizioso won. Where he was on Friday to come where he is today, I mean, phenomenal. Those guys worked their butts off.
How much is this down to Gigi Deligneux?
A lot. And Davide Tardozzi, obviously, was talking to us. He's a very strong team manager, and he makes a team work together as a team. Do you remember how many years ago was it? 3 years ago, Ducati, 4 years ago, definitely, were completely lost. They got Davide Tardozzi involved, and obviously Gigi Deligneux is the mastermind, the brain of building an incredible motorcycle, and it always takes years, and now we're seeing, you know, all that hard work has come down to, well, this domination now.
Paying off.
Yeah, because they were sort of almost falsely flattered, in a sense, by Casey Stoner and his incredible brilliance, weren't they? But now, the full package.
Yeah, I mean, Casey was, you're right, I was smoking mirrors. Mm. That's Casey Stoner. Now they have Lorenzo was 3.5 seconds off
the win. We didn't talk about him.
We didn't even mention
pretty
that.
Close, yeah. Well, that's it from the home Grand Prix. We'll be back in a couple of weeks' time in San Marino, and we'll chat with you then.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud. Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.